Welcome to Problem Corner, more than just a radio show. It's a community forum, a marketplace, and a platform for dialogue on the issues that matter most to the people of Juneau and Southeast Alaska. This is a space where your voice can be heard, whether you're celebrating, selling, or seeking solutions. Just go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, and add your comments, suggestions, or leave a message. Now, here's your host, Wade Bryson.
Well, good morning, good morning. Hello, and welcome to Problem Corner. I'm your host, Wade Bryson. And all right, send me an email right now. If you're listening to this, either live on Saturday morning or on the podcast, go to KINYradio.com, click the Problem Corner link, and that will get your Problem Corner ad right over here. Tanya wanted me to let everyone know that Clinkit Head Start is accepting applications for the 24-25 school year. The program is available at no cost, and all families are encouraged to apply. You can find the application at Clinkit and Haida, www.clinkitandhaida, or call 463-7127. And if you've got a preschooler, the Head Start preschool program is just top notch. And why not give your kid an advantage going into their school career? As I've discovered, and we learn all kinds of different things, and as we're learning about childcare, the level of education that your kid gets, or that any kid gets when they're really young, has the most impact on how easy or difficult it is for them to learn in high school. So thank you to Clinkit and Haida Head Start, because every kid they give a head start to has a little bit easier time in high school. And that's actually kind of good to hear. So, all right. And again, if you have an announcement like that, go to KINYradio.com, click the Problem Corner link, and I'll send your Problem Corner email right over here. My boy Lance has a couple things going on, so I'm going to do a phone call here. Good morning. Good morning. Hello, and welcome to Problem Corner. I only have one question for you. What's your problem?
Well, it's not necessarily a problem. It's just a need. There was a man by the name of James Hicks. He worked for Jammy for a long period of time, and he developed cancer.
Oh, no.
So he, yeah, we were trying to get this together before he passed away, but he didn't have as long as the doctors told him, so he passed last week.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Lance.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But he still has a family and a wife, and so we, Gail of the Sandbar, has agreed to allow us to have a benefit there. We're a Texas Hold'em benefit. We're going to have pulled pork sandwiches and coleslaw and french fries.
Good old summer food.
Some Sakatumi cake or whatever Tana makes. And with that, all the donations from the sale of the food will be going to the family. We also are going to have a 50-50 sale, where 50% will go to the people that buy the tickets, and 50% will go to his family, and all the people that buy in for the Texas Hold'em games. Of course, by law, we cannot able to give out of cash, but we will have some wonderful prizes. We got a Nintendo Switch and some other things. I think you're actually donating something, aren't you?
I was just going to say, we got to make sure we get together so I can get you some Subway certificates for that event.
Yes, and so we're going to have some prizes. We got some antique items that people have donated, and a bunch of other things, and a few businesses have donated, like Pavage and Freya and, you know, so forth and so on. And so I hope it'll be beneficial to the family and get money for them.
All right.
And they need it.
The one thing that I know about you, Lance, is that you know how to throw a party. You know how to bring an event together. I know from personal experience. So I really appreciate you using your skills and just the tools that you have to constantly be benefiting your friends and neighbors here in Juneau. I mean, if you're helping anybody of a fraction of what you helped me, Lance, this event's in good hands, sir. I really appreciate
it. Well, I have to turn it back to you, Wade. You help a lot of people as well.
All right.
You help me as well, too. So, I mean, one hand washes the other. But I do think we're both people that are like to be of service to other people. This is not the first time that I've done this, and it won't be the last time.
Right on.
And that's our thing, is to help others.
I love it, Lance. So I always used to say when I was hosting events, if you want to help yourself, go help other people. It's the single best way to help yourself. So I appreciate your service. And so this is at, tell me the details again. It's going to be at the Sandbar.
It'll be at the Sandbar on April 13th from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
April 13th, that's next Saturday after April.
Two Saturdays. Two Saturdays.
Okay. Hey, man, these things sneak up on you really quick.
Yes.
All right. Well, hey, Lance, I will tell everybody about the benefit. And what was the gentleman's name one more time?
His name was James Hicks.
James Hicks. All right. Well, Lance, thanks for putting this on. Give the Hicks family our condolences. Give me a shout one afternoon when you're out and about, and let's meet up over at the Juneau Bike Doctor, and we'll see what kind of prizes we can get for you.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Wade.
All right, Lance, just real quick, though, before you go, I know this is the event you're working on for right now, and the family greatly appreciates it, but the community is kind of curious. What else do you got coming, Lance?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm in the struggles of trying to get Ludacris here.
Okay.
But I don't know how successful I'm going to be because Ludacris has signed a contract for the fair. So that means that he can't do any other shows. So I'm trying to get an audience with the fair to see if I can beg for them to let him come here. And then once that's done, then it's the hard part, finding the money. But, you know, as long if we can get him here, that's great. If we can't, no. I have another guy named Alaska Red. He is trying to bring Tech N9ne here. We're in the talks with Hona Totem right now to see if we can have a venue because, unfortunately, it happens on the week of Celebration. So the only other place that we can put him is in the property that Hona Totem owns.
Yep.
So we're trying to figure that out. But I do have one thing. I got a guy named Michael Franti and the Spearheads, and they will be coming, I think it is August 6th. A lady by the name of Sherry Snook. She put it together. If you don't know who Michael Franti is, he used to do a lot of stuff with Buddy Tabor. Go Google him and check him out. And he is coming. And he is, that contract is signed and good to go.
All right.
I guess everybody pray for the other stuff.
All right. Hey, well, Lance, great to talk to you. Thanks for hanging out with us here on Problem Corner for a minute. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. See you later, Wade.
All right. And again, thank you to Lance Mitchell. Always throwing good time. Or always throwing an event in Juneau. That's probably the best way. Master of Ceremonies, event planner, Lance Mitchell. If you're having an event like that or you need somebody awesome to help head up your event or maybe kickstart your event or just promote it for you, you can find me. I'll help you find Lance. He's pretty easy to find around town. So good luck to Lance. And again, if you can, stop by the benefit on Saturday night, April 13th, to benefit the James Hicks family. And again, condolences to the Hicks family. All right, we have a little bit more Problem Corner coming up after we do a quick commercial break. I'll be right back with more Problem Corner on KINY. All right, well, Welcome back to the Brahm Corner. When you're thinking about it this week, send me an email. Go to KINYradio.com, click on the Brahm Corner link, and that'll send your email right over here, and I'll be able to share it with everybody else. Bruce sent me an email. He says, on the second crossing alternative, has Alaska Department of Fish and Game given comments or expressed an opinion about how each will affect the Mendenhall Wetlands State Game Refuge? Also, has the FAA and Alaska Airlines given comment or expressed an opinion of how each will affect aviation safety? If they have not asked, they should be. Bruce, the answer to all of those is yes, 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 and yes. Everybody, every entity from ADF&G to the Wetlands Study Group to Sea Alaska Land Southeast Alaska Land Trust. Sorry, I got to make sure I say that right. SEAC. What are the other? I forgot the phrase. The other groups. Everybody has made sure they put their two cents in. I think DOT might have been one. The other one. They're the group that's leading the project. So, yes, everyone has given an opinion. They are aware that the Mendenhall Wetlands State Game Refuge is one of, it's part of critical habitat for bird migration. And if you had paid attention to the kind of the history of the second crossing or the North Douglas Crossing, which is the preferred name for the project, crossing the Mendenhall Wetlands is the sticky wicket of it, because you don't want to interrupt bird migration routes. That's how you harm the wildlife. They also are concerned about the different plants that are around there. They don't want to harm that very critical migration habitat. So, yes, every single person who has a vested interest or just an interest in the wetlands has absolutely given input to not only the project team, but also CBJ. We will be hosting through Public Works and Facilities a local listening session so that the citizens of Juneau can give us their two cents on how they feel about those alternatives and the impact on the wetlands game refuge area. FAA, Alaska Airlines, the airport have all been in a discussion. The airport was really concerned about it. Alaska Airlines was concerned about it. Now that everybody's had a chance to come together and talk with the project team, the concerns about runway safety or having the bridge too high, those have totally been answered and put to bed. No project will, no second crossing project or North Douglas crossing project will be at the height that would impact flights or aviation. They didn't want that. You can't do that. You can't block flights. And so that was one of the parameters that they had to operate with immediately, like from the beginning. So, yes, the airport, airline, and the appropriate entities have all commented and have had their concerns addressed by the Dow and state DOT project team. So that was a really big deal. People were really concerned. They're like, oh my gosh, they're not going to really build a bridge that would impact with flight paths. And the real answer is no, there's no way they'll do that. They said right away, no, we're not going to do anything dumb like that. So the good news is, Bruce, your concerns are being addressed. Those are the very things that they're talking about. Now, do we have a clear path forward to getting the second crossing? That is not as clear of an answer. So if you know two cents on how to make that happen, oh, please, by all means, let me know. I'll share it with everybody. All right. This week, we do have a little bit of good news coming from the federal government. And since that never happens, I took this as particularly good news. the Icebreaker that is to be home ported in Juneau has gotten its congressional budget allocation. So the money's there to purchase the Icebreaker. And I think everybody, that was what everybody was hoping to accomplish. And I spoke with both Senator Sullivan and Representative Peltola. And I'd like to thank both of them for helping keeping this moving forward. Representative Peltola, it sits on the Coast Guard board, or her committee assignments is for the Coast Guard there. So really, really good news. Roughly 200 families coming to town is what that could potentially mean once that Icebreaker is here. And the story that I get is right now they have funds for the Icebreaker, but the infrastructure money that the Coast Guard could then assist Juneau in accomplishing some of the things that we'd need to get the town ready for the 200 additional Coast Guard families. So super good news in that regards, because federal Coast Guard money has a strong impact here in our community, and another light turned green towards making that reality. So we're pretty happy about that. All right. I'm going to go ahead and take a phone call here. I think I got a bike expert with me. And good morning. Good morning. Hello and welcome to Problem Corner. I only have one question for you. What's your problem?
Hey, Wade. One of the things that I'm a little concerned about is we've got a lot of hikers and bikers kind of occupying the same area. And I think it'd be great to have more user-specific trails.
Okay. This is perfect springtime. Everybody's on a trail somewhere doing something.
Yeah. I mean, I do both, and I've got a dog, so I walk my dog out on the trails from time to time. And I haven't had any, you know, adverse interactions with cyclists, but I know there are times when, you know, East Glacier Trail gets used a lot by visitors and locals, and we used to ride bikes there a lot, but now with so many people, it's harder to ride areas like that. But there is a group that has started doing some work, and I know they could use some support. It's the Juneau Mountain Bike Alliance, and they have worked with the folks at Trail Mix to create some mountain bike specific trails where,
I like the sound of that.
You can ride the bike on the trail and not worry about somebody walking up a hill that you're riding down.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I could see that being a great benefit. Cause there's a couple of trails in town that are marked, hiking only, no bikes, like the, I want to call it Boy Scout Beach. Am I thinking of the right place? It says, no bicycles.
Oh, okay. I don't ride out there too often, but I know, like, Perseverance is another one that has a lot of multi-use on it, and so far things have gone pretty well, but, you know, usually when we're on our bikes, you ride uphill on the way to the end of the trail, and then it's, you know, essentially downhill on your way out.
A little bit faster, yeah.
Right, yeah, and I think we've got a bunch of bike riders that want to be good neighbors, and that's great. But I know the trail system on Under Thunder, there's some mountain bike specific trails that I believe are even marked now as bike only trails. And so there's stuff like that. I think there's a couple of really short ones that come off of the Treadwell Trail. If you're a cyclist or you're a hiker that likes the idea of cyclists kind of riding in specific areas, check out the Juneau Mountain Bike Alliance, their social media on Facebook. They're always talking about the project that they're working on, and if people want to lend a hand, they're always looking for somebody else to run a shovel or a rake and kind of help work on trails. And if you're a cyclist, you need to get out there and help those folks, because you're riding the trails that they're building.
That's excellent. Hey, and I have done a small addition. One of my daughters will be working for Trail Mix this summer, and I'll put 2 cents in for the bike trails when I talk to her next.
Oh, for sure. And those folks at Trail Mix, the work they've done probably the last 10 years or so has just been, if you haven't been to the Treadwell Trail in a while, I would encourage everybody to check that out. They've done some incredible work on that. And I think here real soon, that's going to be a point-to-point trail where you can start at Eagle Crest and finish at Sandy Beach or vice versa.
What? Oh, yeah. That does sound awesome, especially once we get the G word going. The gondola.
I think it's going to be 15 miles roughly from point to point.
Wow.
That's a long trail. And then my understanding is they're working on Windfall Lake to Montana Creek. That would be another long point to point trail, which will be a lot of fun.
That sounds awesome. And then let's just sprinkle in a couple more Forest Service cabins to top that off. I think we'll be perfect.
Exactly. Wouldn't it be amazing to have a Forest Service cabin back in the Montana Creek Meadows and places like that? Or
yes, yeah. I gotcha. All right. Well, hey, thanks for talking bike trails and sharing trails and Trail Mix. And we'll see you on the trail this summer.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for joining Problem Corner today. All right. And if you have any bike questions that you need answered, you can send them to me, KINYradio.com. Click on the Problem Corner link, and let's see if we can't get you a solution to your biking problem. Even if that's, where should I go biking? Somewhere where you enjoy. I'm going to go with that. All right. I'm going to go ahead and take another Problem Corner break. I'll be right back with more Problem Corner on KINY. Welcome back to Problem Corner on this Saturday right before Easter. And so that means that today is the day for Easter egg hunts. The church right next to Fred Meyer's has been advertising an Easter egg hunt. And I'm sure there are a few more out there. I've seen a couple announced on Facebook. So check with your local church to see if they're hosting an Easter egg hunt on this Sunday's Easter Day. So not only is it a special day in that regards, but Sunday Easter is also the last day or night, midnight, that you can fill out your permanent fund dividend application. They've already announced they're looking at like $2,400 and change. And, I don't care who you are. $2,000 is better than a kick in the pants. So if you have forgotten, failed, somehow mistakenly did not fill out your application, and you lived in Alaska since December 31st, 2022, you can now fill out your permanent fund dividend application. You just had to be in Alaska by December 31st, 2022. Unless you were born here, and then that changes the rules a little bit. But you can fill out that application. And again, Sunday night, Easter night at midnight will be the last moment that you can do that. I think that I remember from previous Problem Corners, if you fail to get it, the application turned in on time, that's not an allowable absence or an excusable reason. You'll be denied your PFD. And man, I do not want you to lose that on your PFD. You'll need to go to myalaska.gov. And once you, I do recommend getting a sticky note, writing what you're, if you haven't done your MyAlaska, fill out your MyAlaska, do the, write your password and your username, and then keep that somewhere safe. I think I have 2 MyAlaska accounts, and it definitely complicates things. But you, that's the website that you would fill out your PFD application. My Alaska account? I forgot it now. Too much. All right. But don't fail to get your PFD this year. We don't want that to happen to you. What else is going on? Oh, I was talking about the icebreaker before the break. And one of the things that brought that to mind, one of my little side gigs is Turo. I have a Turo car that I rent out. I found out about it and I was curious, and so we have a Turo car, but that's beside the point. A Coast Guard officer was the last person to rent the Turo, and I had the privilege to talk to him for a few minutes, and like, they're starting to ramp things up. And she was up here scoping out the town because she's moving her small family into town. So even the news of the icebreaker coming has already started to spur economic activity. So I was pretty happy about that, that the Coast Guard is like serious. They're like, all right, we got to get some folks here. We got to start on this stuff. So I thought that that was a very positive sign. But then it reminded me of Turo, and I was hoping to get a little bit of your guys' comments on Turo operations. Turo is similar to Uber and Lyft, but you just get the car, not the driver. I don't think it's called ride sharing. It's like car sharing. Turo, if you haven't heard of it, I own a car. I put the car listed on the Turo website, and somebody from anywhere goes through that website and rents the car, and then Turo notifies me that I have to have the car at the airport at this time or something like that. That's 95% of what it's been. You know, it is a topic. It is a viable thing. People, there's plenty of Turo folks in here. I actually found out about it from other people in the community that had been really successful with Turo, and I was like, wow, wait a second, I have property near the airport. This might not be a bad gig. And so if you've got 2 cents on Turo, have you had a good experience with it? Have you had a bad experience with it? Do you think it would be great for our town to increase rental capabilities, especially when we're so seasonal? We only need so many rental cars half the year, but the other time of the year, there's not enough rental cars. And that was some anecdotal information that I gathered from the time, and that kind of jives with what I've encountered. It didn't rent out that much during the winter a few times. A few folks coming to town, father and daughter going skiing at Eagle Crest for a weekend. So I would be curious to what your guys' take is on Turo. Is this a good thing or a bad thing for the community? Does it benefit the community, or is it maybe in the category of what people thought short-term rentals were doing? So if you got 2 cents on that, feel free to go to KINYradio.com, click on the Prom Corner link, and then shoot it right over here to me. And, yeah, I'd be curious what you have to say about that. All right. What else do we have going on here? Kevin still wanting to know what we think about the tourism returning to pre-pandemic levels. We do believe that that's going to be the case. The one thing that I think is going to be different this summer, and I haven't got a tour operator to confirm it, or confirm it on Prom Corner. They'll tell me all day long. They're having an easier time hiring and getting people up here. There's more places to put a few folks. So the couple of large tour operators that I've chatted with are definitely having an easier time getting staffed up. And I'm going to knock on some wood because I don't want to mess anybody up. But compared to this same time period last year, hiring is going better. Maybe that's the right phrase to say. So if they're able to employ more folks, then that is great, because the more people they can employ, that's the more tourists that they can absorb. Think of every employee as somebody that can absorb, depending on the tour, 20 to 100 people a day. So the more workers we have, the less tourism congestion we have in the downtown corridor. So that is my guess for tourism this summer. I think that the tour operators are going to be more at their capacity as opposed to being understaffed and under capacity. That'll be a huge help. And so that's my optimistic approach for what I think tourism might produce for us here this year. Parking downtown, another improvement that hopefully will be coming. That is a concern folks are having. But then again, everything does boil back down to housing, not enough housing. But regardless of all those factors, tour companies are able to bring on more employees. And I think that is going to be the most important detail at the end of the day. All right, that does bring us to our last commercial break. When I get back from the break, I've got 2 cents about the Mill Campground, which is a topic that is trying to get worked out right now. And we'll talk about that when I get back after this commercial break with more Problem Corner on KINY. Welcome back to Problem Corner for our last segment here. This week at the Assembly, we are discussing the campground that the unsheltered population had been utilizing over the last couple of years. It's created a few more problems, and so we're not quite sure. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. Are we going to have a campground, or are we going to not have a campground and have the population that would be staying at that campground at more sporadic spots? So instead of having a concentration, it would move the camping further into the non-viewable wooded areas around. Man, there is no good answer. No matter which side you fall on, no matter which side of the topic you're coming from, there's just a giant spectrum of answers. And so there's not even a defined, this is the good answer that gets you the outcome you're looking for. That doesn't exist yet. So that is something to pay attention. There's a plenty of groups that were around that area that did not want that campground to continue existing at that area. Similar population that used the warming shelter that we had to move from the neighborhood area that it was located in last year to a little bit further down Thane, what we did this past winter. Man, if you know a really easy answer that doesn't offend or hurt anybody's feelings, then please send that to me, KINYradio.com. Click on the Prom Corner link. All right. I am going to end the show on a little bit more of a positive topic. I've been hanging out at Bartlett over the last month or so, and we've got a new interim CEO. He's not too new anymore. But I wanted to get Ian Warden, the Bartlett interim CEO. Here, let me go grab Ian. Well, good morning. Good morning. Hello, and welcome to Problem Corner. On the phone with me right now, I have the interim hospital CEO, Ian Warden. Ian, good morning. Welcome to Problem Corner. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Wade. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. So, Ian, we have a show called Action Line where one of my colleagues will do like a whole interview show and kind of dive deep into some topics. But over the last month or so, I've been watching you work at Bartlett as I'm the CBJ liaison to the hospital. And, man, you have just really grasped what Bartlett needs to do for the community. And I was hoping that you could maybe just share with us a little bit of your insight of, you know, some of the things that you accomplished and just what you're doing with our hospital and the consistency that you're bringing. It's really the temperature's down at the hospital, I guess, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah. Well, that's very kind. First of all, I've been in Juneau, Alaska now for maybe a 5 or 6 months, and it's just the most beautiful state capital in the United States.
We all agree with you on that, yes.
And within that beautiful state capital, you have a gem of a hospital called Bartlett Regional Hospital.
Oh, good.
And the doctors and the nurses and the other clinicians in that hospital are always trying to figure out how to meet the healthcare needs of the community. And we have found something that we think that is very important to the women of Juneau and the surrounding areas that we wanted you all to know. In January, we signed an agreement with two physicians out of the Alaska Women's Cancer Center, Drs. Joni Hope and Melissa Hardesty. They're both board-certified gynecological oncologists. That's the top of the line in terms of oncology for women. And not only are they great board-certified physicians, but they use our robotic or Da Vinci robot, which also provides them with the ability to do cancer surgeries with minimally invasive tools. So that's top of the line, best care that the women of Juneau who need these services can have. They come in twice a month, and they hold the clinic and they do the surgeries, and it really fills a gap of care that allows the women of Juneau and the surrounding areas a high quality cancer care. And when I talked to Dr. Hope about, are the cancers in Juneau or Alaska different than the lower 48? She says, no, but the women are presenting later. And so, they present later because of the remoteness of the communities that we serve.
Oh, okay.
And so bringing these two physicians into town on a month-to-month basis fills the gap in access of care and hopefully allows the women who need these sorts of services to get access to that care earlier. And of course, the earlier you receive your care, the more likely you're going to have a better outcome. So we're really pleased with these two physicians coming in town and our medical staff and our nurses and other caregivers, because it truly does focus on the needs of the people in the community of Juneau.
Well, that is great to hear. And for an oncologist doctor to be called Dr. Hope, I don't think you could have a more appropriate person in that role. That's awesome.
You know, Wade, I agree with you. It's such a wonderful name for what she does.
Well, that is great to hear. All right. Well, Mr. Warden, it has been a privilege getting to know you, and I'm really excited and proud of the job that you're doing at Bartlett, because I think every Juneauite that has used the hospital or had a kid born there or any of the number of reasons why people go there, like, we love our hospital. And so for you to come in and bring that consistency and that stability into the hospital when we've had a couple of hiccups along the way. Not everybody in the community knows the great work that you're doing for our locally owned hospital. And I just wanted to highlight you and let the community know about you. So,
Wade, thank you so much. But it really is a great team effort with our team and the team of doctors and nurses. I'm really privileged to work with such a great group of people. And I hope to help out for the next number of months that I can be here until a permanent CEO is selected. But it really is a privilege.
And you are participating in that CEO search, correct? You're helping the group out.
I am. I have a lot of experience, not only as a CEO, but also a COO and a CFO. So these times are tough for healthcare, and we need someone with the right business acumen, the right skill sets, as well as the heart for wanting to live and work in the Juneau area.
Right on. Well, Mr. Warden, I have watched a handful of Bartlett CEOs come and go, unfortunately, over the years, and hearing you at the last Bartlett board meeting, and man, you just had the grasp of here's where your hospital's at, here's what you guys are facing, here's what we need to work on. It was just brilliant. So I really thank you for participating in Problem Corner today, and I guess we'll see you at the next hospital board meeting.
Yeah, and I'd like to call again when I can. Thank you.
Yes, sir. We will get an update from you here later on in the future. All right, Ian Warden, Bartlett CEO, thank you so much for calling today.
All right, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Hey, we'll see you. And again, thank you to Ian Warden for taking the time to chat with us here on Problem Corner and let us know some of the positive improvements that are being made at Bartlett. I've watched a handful of CEOs now, and I have the most confidence in Ian and his ability to get Bartlett on the right track so it is a sustainable asset for the community. So, yeah, thank you to Ian. And I have gotten to go tour all of Bartlett. I've been in pretty much every nook and cranny. I've gotten to go in the two passages from the hospital, Wildflower Court. I went in the lower one and in the upper one. It was interesting. And then, but I did get to go into Wildflower Court and talk about a hidden gem of the community. It is a beautiful building, and so for the seniors and the elders that Wildflower Court services, man, what a top-notch facility. So I was really excited and pleased to see Bartlett. There were maybe some ruffled feathers when I was joining the board as a liaison, and a lot of things seem to be calming down now, and so there's not as much excitement at the board level. Maybe that's the phrase I'm looking for, because they're all like, oh, we're all on the same page. We're all trying to get to the same goal. So I was really excited to be able to have Ian come and share a little bit with us. Okay, so Problem Corner is still driven by you guys. I'm running into people throughout the community. They're giving me topics. I've got a few folks that I talked to on the phones today that I'm encountering. And so this week, while you're thinking about it, go to KINYradio.com, click the Problem Corner link. And if you'd like for me to give you a call for a Problem Corner episode, include your phone number. I'll give you a shout ahead of time so I won't like surprise you and be in the bath and I call you up and be like, hey, let's talk about Problem Corner. No, it's not like that. I'll give you a heads up and then talk about an appropriate time to record. But that is going to do it for this week's edition of Problem Corner. So thank you for tuning in this Saturday morning, listening or checking it out on a podcast. And again, send me those emails, KINYradio.com. And leave me your phone number if you wanted me to give you a shout. Till next time, remember, on Problem Corner, there are no such thing as problems, just solutions we've yet to discover. Have a great rest of the day. I'm Wade. I'm out of here.
You've been listening to Problem Corner, a production of KINY Radio. Listen every Saturday morning at 9 or subscribe everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.